Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hail Mary.
Full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Most Sacred Heart of Jesus,
have mercy on us.
Pope St. John Paul II,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
As we talk about entering into prayer in a more personal way, remembering that our goal is to love the Lord our God more fully with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, we have been noticing how the personal prayer, the private prayer that we have, complements the common prayer or the liturgical prayer, which we pray together. And the way in which the personal prayer can sometimes, despite its careful incorporation into the rule and constitutions, the way of life of your community, it is very possible for us as individuals to begin to move away from that and to fail to have that those opportunities to cultivate a more individual, personal relationship with the Lord. And sometimes, despite the fact that we have been in religious life for a very long time, we might even become uncomfortable with that personal prayer. And for some of us, it can be difficult to sit still because it gets easier on retreat when the pace slows down. But in our ordinary everyday life, there can be a great deal of activity, and it can be a little harder for us to slow down. Everyone has her own way of entering into prayer, but I would just like to make a few comments more from my personal experience and from my experience of trying to assist and support others as they try to deepen their personal prayer life. The practice of making a holy hour is, of course, something that is woven into the life of most religious and can be a great source of strength when it is practiced regularly. I would like to suggest, though, that in addition to all of the other ways in which we pray, it can be good to take the holy hour not simply as time to catch up on the divine office, not simply as time to do spiritual reading, not simply as time to pray the rosary, not simply as time to organize my day, but to take care of those activities at other times. So that in the hour, if we are saving that time for personal prayer, that hour might be uninterrupted by those other types of prayer, which of course are extremely important and extremely valuable. And the Eucharist is, of course, as we've said several times, the most important prayer of all. But so many of those other prayers, while the intention is that there be periods of silence between the Psalms, or that there be silence at the Eucharistic celebration, And even though the sacramentary and the rubrics provide for silence, in practice that silence is often not there. And we have a time of preparation for Mass, a time of thanksgiving after Mass, but those times too can be rushed or distracted, or on a given day you're the cook or you're someone who has to get up and leave early, and all of those things get cut off and neglected. When particularly Pope St. John Paul, but I know many other writers have said this in promoting prayer before the Blessed Sacrament or time of personal prayer, they often mention that it is important to extend the reception of the Eucharist into time of adoration and to allow the common prayer or the liturgical prayer to be followed by time when we kind of unpack everything that happened in there. The few seconds that we take between psalms is often not the time that provides an adequate opportunity for us to internalize what we have just prayed. So it is very beneficial, and I would go so far as to say necessary, to take extended periods of time when we do not simply fill it up with other things, other very valuable types of prayer, but that we allow ourselves to be there with the Lord and in a way that is not somehow limited by other types of preoccupations. We simply, as we have described, open our hearts to the Lord. We simply stay there before the Lord and allow ourselves to pour our hearts out and then to remain in silence, listening to Him. If we give up because we're distracted or because we're sleepy, or if we feel like we're wasting our time, that not very much is going on, that all we're doing is putting in time, that there really isn't a process of prayer going on, because on a given day we keep going off into distractions, or we keep beginning to think about other things and not to keep our heart open to the Lord. That can seem like we might as well give up and go do something that's more fruitful. That is a temptation we should avoid. We should remain there and we should persevere in prayer. We should keep opening our heart again and again to the Lord, and not simply begin to read something to keep our minds occupied or to give ourselves some comfort in prayer. We know how it can be if we are trying to express something or trying to do something, if we have a task that we're performing, and if we give up very easily, then we often walk away before we have completed the task, and maybe we develop the habit that we leave many things undone because we don't persevere at them. Some persons that I talk to in spiritual direction, and some of us can be like this, they're sort of always starting a new book but never finish a book. And they're always starting a new job or a new project, but often don't finish the projects. And pretty soon you go to their room and you can see all these half-finished projects around, and all of these half-finished books, and there never is completion. There are can be very good reasons to stop reading a book if we're finding that it simply isn't productive. But we shouldn't do that right away, or else we're always jumping from one thing to another. Some people are always doing the same thing with prayer. Many people like to read about prayer, but again, never quite get around to doing it. I have had the experience too many times. I'll go to maybe to visit a friend who's a priest, and he'll have this wonderful library with all these books on prayer, and then we get talking about it, and he said, I've never really gotten around to reading any of them. And they all looked great at the time that he saw them advertised and heard them recommended by someone else. And at Christmas time and on other occasions, everybody gives him books, but because he perhaps is a very busy and dedicated priest, he never gets a chance to read them. Then there are other people who are always reading the latest book on prayer that they have found, and yet never get around to applying the method or spending the time in prayer. Just as it's easier to think about God, it can be easier to read about prayer or think about prayer without ever getting around to doing it. I've heard far too many people, and can recognize the same tendency in myself, who, when they come to spiritual direction time after time, or when they go to confession time after time, and I will often ask the question, how is your prayer life going? And they'll usually say the same thing each time. Okay, but you know, I really need to do more. I really need to start praying more. And that becomes the story throughout the years. And we never get around to doing that. We know how that can be the case in many relationships. Many times we will tell a good friend or tell another sister that, you know, when we run into them somewhere, you know, we really have to get together and talk. You know, I'll be in touch. Okay, I'll call you. Yes, okay. Neither calls. And then sometime later we bump in. We really have to get together. And then one day both of us die, and it never quite happened. That's the thing we don't want to happen in our relationship with the Lord. Because what a shame to live our lives and be never actually getting around to making the personal connection. Some of you may remember, I have a memory somewhere back in high school, and I think it was the play by Thornton Wilder, Our Town. And in that play, which is set up in an abstract sort of way, but anyway, it's a family situation, and then in the end, as some family members die, they are supposedly in the cemetery, which, as the play is being staged, is simply a group of chairs lined up like tombstones might be, and that's where all the dead people are seated. But they are watching life go on without them now that they are dead. And one of the characters watching the living, one of the characters who has died but who is watching those still living, and he says, my God, we never even looked at each other. We talked around each other. We never really looked at each other. And the very same thing can happen with God. Now, again, I observe your great devotion. I have yet to enter this chapel that there aren't 3 to 6 sisters all through the day in here praying, and that's, of course, a wonderful thing to see. And yet, we might still, as we've been doing during this retreat, ask ourselves whether we are really looking at each other. We know the very beautiful story, very simple story, of St. John Vianney, the patron of not only parish priests, but more recently, the patron of priests, all priests. And the story is told about how St. John Vianney would always see this old farmer in church. And he'd be in church by the hour just looking at the tabernacle and sitting there. And finally, St. John Vianney can't curb his curiosity anymore. He's wondering how this very holy farmer can spend all this time in front of the Blessed Sacrament and how he prays. So he walks up to him and he interrupts his prayer and he says to him, what are you doing here? And the man said to him, I'm praying. And St. John Vianney said, and how do you pray? And the simple farmer says, I look at him and he looks at me. How different from our town, Thornton Wilder, where we're not looking at each other, where we don't really see each other, where we don't really connect with each other. We've said that to love the Lord our God with our whole heart is going to allow us to love others and love ourselves better. But if we don't even look at the Lord, we may love him indeed, but that love doesn't get a chance to be shared over and over again in the way that it can be if through the devotion of the Sacred Heart, and I've been looking at your constitutions and some of the other writings that pertain to your congregation, and the devotion to the Sacred Heart is mentioned, of course, over and over again in terms of the intimacy possible through the heart of Jesus and how that is to characterize everything that you are, that relationship through the heart of Jesus. Well, we know that when we have someone in our heart, if we love someone very deeply, we are, of course, in a heart-to-heart, very intimate relationship. There is a connection there through the heart. And it is that kind of connection that we want to develop. But again, perseverance is important. Not giving up. Not giving up so easily. And not falling into the practice of never really getting around to doing it, to stay there, to not too easily give ourselves over to other types of prayer, which are excellent, but instead to, you know, without sort of allowing ourselves to be, to have as a way of distracting ourselves, read or do something else, to simply remain there in real humility and in real poverty. The prayer with the Lord, some of the things that I have discovered that are very important, as I said, I want to share. I mentioned, and we all know this so well, how we can be distracted very easily. And how on certain days it just seems like there's one distraction after another. And we can find ourselves having spent an extended period of time, as we should. Why an hour? Why extended? Well, because it gives us enough time to get through all the resistance that we have to sitting still. all the resistance we have to simply staying there naked, if you will, vulnerable, if you will, our heart open, and pouring our heart out and then staying to receive the Lord and to continue to persevere in that. If I have, let's say, during the course of an hour, many, many distractions, well, what we should do when we are distracted is to simply turn back to the Lord. If I'm sitting in front of the Blessed Sacrament, for example, and I find myself wandering off into thinking about something else, if we work at this, we begin to realize what is happening, and we have the opportunity to simply stop the distraction and turn back to the Lord. That is the dynamic that I want to recommend. Don't get frustrated. Don't get mad at yourself. Don't get mad at the Lord. You know, it's easy to fuss about, whether it's, too cold in here, too hot in here, whether I'm comfortable, my eye itches and my, I've been sitting too long and my back is hurt. We fidget all the time. And, just to allow ourselves to get past that and to, whenever the distractions come, gently turn back to the Lord and just refocus on the Lord, then we can soon find that instead of being frustrated when we're distracted, we can simply turn back to the Lord with an act of love. Turn back to the Lord with an act of love. So I'm distracted, I'm restless, I'm being restless, I notice it, what do? Simply refocus, turn back to the Lord. The same thing we do if we're trying to pay attention to another person. You know, truth be told, our minds, all of us, some of us more than others, but all of us have wandering minds. And even when we're sitting and listening to someone, our minds can wander off. They say something that triggers a memory, and so off we go into that memory, and then we come back a minute or two or maybe more later, and we haven't even been paying attention to what the person said. Well, what we do is simply bring ourselves back and pay attention to the person again. That is all we have to do. Hopefully, while we were off thinking of that memory, they didn't tell us something important, or we don't find ourselves suddenly, they say, so what do you think about that? And I realize I don't even know what that is because I was off on holiday while they were telling me what that is. But again, just bring ourselves back with an act of love. And that means that if during an hour, let's say, during an hour, I have 200 distractions. Okay, let's say, and that's not too many when you think of how distracted we can become. 200 distractions in an hour. And I could walk out of the chapel thinking, well, that was certainly a waste of time. But I've made 200 acts of love because every time I became distracted, I simply returned to the Lord with an act of love, not an act of desperation, not an act of impatience, not an act of frustration or giving up, but an act of love, And accept the fact that some of us have, more difficulty paying attention or remaining free of distraction than others. Those of you in the classroom know that we are giving birth to large numbers of children who, for one reason or another, have attention deficit problems. They never get tired of figuring out a new variety of attention deficit disorder. They have attention deficit disorder, attention deficit hyperactive disorder, and all these different, because there are so many children who are like this. When I hear sisters who are in the classroom or other teachers talk about the kinds of situations that they face, I think back to when I was in grade school in the 1950s, and I remember, you know, at the age of 5, I started first grade, too early, by the way, but, it wouldn't have occurred to me to just get up and walk around the room, or to turn and punch somebody beside me, or start talking, and children today are much more difficult to, it's much more difficult to maintain their attention, and all of them are being diagnosed with ADD and ADHD and things like that. I think there are some serious and very problematic reasons why that's increasing. I think that the information technology has a lot to do with it. We would sit by the hour and just listen to the, and even seminarians and people like this who've spent their young years playing video games and constantly on cell phones and technology, they can't pay attention for more than a few minutes if you don't bring into the classroom all kinds of tricks and audiovisual stuff, and you can only talk to them a few minutes and they're off. And because of some other problems in our culture and so on, they are incapable or find it extremely difficult to just sit still. And that is a problem that is affecting our whole society, and it makes the educational process, we certainly have become a lot more sophisticated in diagnosing learning disabilities and things like that, and therefore we find them more often, but I'm afraid it's more than simply we are more aware of these problems. I'm afraid these problems are being caused by the way that small children spend hours on end watching action figures shoot each other and beat each other up and everything like that. I remember, and that'll go into adulthood. I know 40 and 50 year old men who get online together and play video games all evening. It's a little alarming. And I remember one time a bunch of the seminary, when I was rector, making my rounds, and I see a bunch of the seminarians, and they're in and they're playing these video games, 20-some-year-old men, 30-year-old men. It's okay that they have recreation, but they're doing it. And I overheard one of the seminarians who didn't play the video games saying, "How can you guys play those games, where you're killing people all the time? You're destroying people, you're killing people. How can you do that?" And the other seminarian said, "That's all right, they don't have souls." That kind of rationalization. But it's affects our ability to pray, our ability to sit down and listen to another person for more than a few minutes, and to be able to, be quiet without having to jump in and interrupt and make noises and squirm and all those other kinds of things. I notice even our younger monks, they sit down instead of just kind of sitting down and relaxing. They've got to be playing cards, or they've got to be doing something all the time. So that runs counter to what we're talking about. And it can be a very good way of slowing ourselves down and pacing ourselves and learning to increase our concentration. But above all, going into a deeper, more personal relationship with the Lord. And all we have to do, you know, the first principle that I'm suggesting to you is all we have to do is keep turning back. No matter whether we're falling asleep, which it's very easy to do, you know, and again, younger people I've noticed, if there isn't something going on, they immediately go to sleep, almost within seconds. It's unbelievable. You know, they're just gone because there's nothing happening at the moment. You know, it reminds me again of the two dogs. You know, I've decided they sleep 20 hours out of 24. I mean, as soon as there's no action, they go to sleep. And that's kind of another thing that can become true of us. But we can, you know, instead realize and look forward to, you know, I'm not boasting, but I look forward to that hour when I don't have anything to do, no phone calls to make, no appointments to take care of, nothing to do, and I used to have it first thing in the morning because that was the only safe time of the day. Once the day got rolling, there was no telling what would happen and who would call and what emergency would come and things like that until there you are at the end of the day and you're too tired to pray. Now I have a little bit of a different schedule, and so I like to wait till the end of the day, not late evening, but around 4 o'clock or so when the work of the day is over, and I look forward to that. You know, just think, you know, only in like another 2 hours, and I just get to go be with you, Lord, be with you, and have nothing to do but be with you. Now, even if when I get there I'm sleepy, or even if when I get there I'm distracted, or whatever it is, I still get to be there. And I have learned not to feel bad if I'm sleepy, not to feel bad if I'm distracted, but to simply keep turning to the Lord and opening my heart to Him and pouring my heart out, sometimes in words, most often just in a wordless way, just kind of loving Him or offering myself to Him or opening myself to Him, taking whatever is going on. When I talk about opening our hearts, that means that everything in us, every feeling, every fear, every joy, every unnameable kind of preoccupation that I might be having, that all those things are laid out before the Lord. How freeing is that? And, you know, a lot of us get burnt out and get agitated and get irritable because we never take the time to lay everything out before the Lord. So then pretty soon, you know, it's like a beehive in our heads. You know, there's just stuff buzzing around all the time. And we can't concentrate, and we're frustrated, and we're unhappy, and we're irritable, and all those kinds of things that wouldn't happen as severely if we simply took the time to lay everything out in front of the Lord. Now, the nice thing about laying it out in front of the Lord is you don't necessarily have to go into it, because there it is. I can see it. He can see it. It's between me and Him. And if it's a suffering that I have, I might make an offering of it to the Lord. If it's something I don't understand, I might simply hold it before the Lord and ask Him to shed light on it. But I don't focus on the issue I'm concerned about. I focus on Him to try to use spatial things. So if that's the Lord, I put this issue, this concern, this feeling between me and Him, but then I focus on Him with this opened up. And very often, you know how when we're paying indirect attention to something, we often get a very creative and much better solution. You know, if I'm trying to understand myself, and so I'm navel-gazing, or I'm constantly analyzing myself and constantly focusing on myself, constantly looking at myself, very often I will have greater difficulty understanding myself because I'm on, you know, there's no distance between me and myself. I'm all immersed in myself, and I can't see the forest for the trees, or can't see the trees for the forest, however you want to say it. But when I open myself to the Lord and look to the Lord, not to myself, suddenly, though I wasn't directly thinking about myself, I will have an insight. The Lord will show me something. That's how the Lord speaks. But when I'm chattering away to myself, or when I'm immersed in myself, when my problems, I'm immersed in them all the time, it's actually much harder, even psychologically, much less spiritually. It's much harder to come to an understanding of them. You know how a person who is very wise will often, instead of trying to figure everything out right away or make a decision right away, a wise person will say, well, let me think about it, or let me pray about it. Well, how do you exactly do that? Some of us, we go in front of the Blessed Sacrament and then do what we were doing in our office, which is get all tangled up in ourselves, only we're doing it in front of the Blessed Sacrament. How about really taking it to the Lord in prayer? You know, when people are really struggling with something and, you know, they can't seem to get an answer, I will say to them, well, you know, what did the Lord say when you brought it to him? Well, I haven't actually done that. It's amazing how often you get that answer, even from people who pray. What did the Lord show you when you brought that before him? Well, I haven't done that yet. Well, let's do that and see if there isn't a resolution coming a lot sooner. And, you know, you get, a lot of us can get like this, you know, we get between two things. You know, should I stay or should I go? Should I stay or should I go? And we're back and forth all the time. And, you know, I have people who will come in and they'll leave my office thinking they should stay. And the next time they come back, they're gone. And the next time they come back, they're staying. And it's back and forth. And then I'll say, well, what light does the Lord shed on this? And they'll say, well, haven't taken that step yet. You know, when we talk about consulting the Lord and bringing things before the Lord in prayer, do we really? You know, I can't get over some terrible loss that I've had in my life. Well, have I brought it before the Lord? Sometimes people are too angry at God to bring it before him. But sooner or later, we have to, and the sooner the better, by the way. Why am I angry at God? Well, bring that to him, you know. Why don't I want to pray? Bring that to him. There's no reason not to pray. Well, I don't want to pray. Bring that to him. Say, Lord, I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to open my heart to you. Can you show me why that is? Well, I'm angry. Okay, well, that's vague enough. How am I angry? How exactly am I angry? Why exactly am I angry? You know, someone did this the other day, was talking to me as a young monk, and he was angry at his abbot for something, and then earlier in the conversation, he had told me how both of his parents, both of whom were deaf-mute, and both of whom were alcoholics, they had a codependent relationship. And then, further down the conversation, he's telling me how angry he is at the abbot, and he can't figure out why he's so angry. But as I'm listening to him and he talks, there comes the magic word, codependent. He says, the abbot has a codependent relationship with another monk. And I said, do you think it's upsetting you so much because your parents had a codependent relationship? Boing, it's like all the lights came on. And he was in the middle of that, but couldn't see it because he was in the middle of it. I can stand back and listen, and I can see those things. Not because I'm so clever, but simply because if you listen, you hear things. And if you never get around to really listening, you won't hear things. And if we don't, the very best way, I always tell people this, you know, the very best way to resolve your problems and find an answer is bring them to the Lord. It's better than any spiritual director, better than, and, you know, and now you need to test things and confirm things with your spiritual director. And your spiritual director can help you. But there's no better way to resolve even things way from our past. Because that young monk was able to resolve some of his anger at his parents that they were just totally unavailable to him because they were deaf, dumb, and drunk and codependent on each other. And then he began talking about how the abbot was not helpful to him because he was codependent on another monk. I presume you all know what codependent is. It's become a household word. It means two people are kind of so enmeshed in each other that they can't really be separate very well. And they're not available to other people because they're too enmeshed in themselves. So the Lord sheds better light than any counselor, than any author of any book, except the Bible, which is authored by the Lord. And all of these things come to light for those who bring them to the Lord. Then, I'll just say this very briefly, and it'll be the topic of our conference tomorrow. Then, when we've laid everything out with the Lord, we have to listen. We have to be open. And we have to be interiorly cultivate a quiet, trusting receptivity to the Lord. You know, and be willing to wait. Remember patience? Remember patience? How hard it is to be patient. Pope Benedict, in his homily that inaugurated him as Pope, successor of St. Peter, he began talking about patience, of all things, and he's probably thinking of what he was facing. And he said, God is patient. Actually, he said, God's patience makes us impatient. We want God to do things right now, but God is patient. And how good it is for us that God is patient, because he always gives us another chance. He always lets us take the time that we need to realize what he is saying to us. But again, patience has to be met with patience. And we need to learn to be patient before God. So maybe this evening in our prayer, we can think about, and more importantly, talk to the Lord about some of these qualities, our availability to the Lord. Are we really becoming available? And do we really open our hearts to him? Do we really gaze into him with the eyes of our hearts and allow ourselves to receive the gaze from him that is coming back and that can shed light on the places in us which are most hurt, the places in ourselves that are most confusing, the places in ourselves that are most in need of his love and mercy. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Most Sacred Heart of Jesus.
Have mercy on us.
Immaculate Heart of Mary.
Pray for us.
Saint Joseph.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.